Next up, we will have the Media Co-op segment, and we have now in studio Neil and Carla, who are going to present the headlines, and then we'll have an interview. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
A group of activists have declared November 5th to be Bank Transfer Day, a day when they're encouraging everyone to withdraw their money from corporate banks and move it to local banks and credit unions as a demonstration of support of smaller banks and disapproval of recent actions of corporate bankers. The idea was popularized by, among others, Eugene Jarecki, Rob Johnson, and Arianna Huffington in their short film, Move Your Money. In more local news, Attac Québec, which is l'Association pour la taxation des transactions financières et pour l'action citoyenne, will be holding a general assembly at 10 a.m. on Saturday, November 19th at Maison Bellarmine. They will be hosting a representative from Attac Norway, Idar Hell, who will be speaking about his experiences with the Attac movement in Norway. For more information, go to their website, quebec.attac.org. Attac is spelled A-T-T-A-C.
Hi, Neil Rockwell here. Yesterday, I just conducted an interview pertaining to internet surveillance and some new internet tools that might be useful to people. Hi, I'm here with Biscote from the Anarchist Tech Support. We're going to be talking about an article that he wrote on the Dominion website about a program called Jitsi and about sort of internet surveillance and how to protect yourself a little bit. Hi. Thanks for being here. So would you just like to sort of give us some background for this software and just sort of, yeah, fill us in for those who don't know?
Okay. So I decided to write an article about this for the Dominion because it's the topic of how to do counter-surveillance on a technical level, like against the like wiretapping and all the things and internet monitoring that police and governments can do to do surveillance on activists or social movements. That's what Anarchist Tech Support does, is shows people how to use these tools. And we do workshops on that primarily. But then there was we've been doing workshops on various software that already existed. But then this summer, a new tool became available all of a sudden. And so we've done dozens of workshops and told lots of people about these things, but hadn't told them about this new thing because it didn't exist before. So it was writing an article as a way to tell a lot of people as quickly as possible about a new option that they have. And so Jitsi is that new software. And what it offers that wasn't available very easily before is encryption of voice and video calls over the internet. So right now, a lot of people do that using Skype, and Skype has a lot of problems with it. It's a company that has collaborated with the Chinese government to create a version of the software that is used for surveillance purposes specifically. And basically logs keywords that are sent through instant messages, and if there's a keyword triggered that the Chinese government cares about, it gets sent directly to them. So it basically is snitch software. And Skype tells people that their software is encrypted, or the calls using the Skype software are encrypted. And that might even be true, but it's basically meaningless because encryption isn't just like a blanket that can be put over something and then there's no problems anymore.
You have to trust Skype.
Yeah, you have to trust Skype, basically. Or if they explained how it worked, then you would have to, and you could see how it worked, then you could trust it yourself based on what you know. But they don't tell anything about how it works. They don't say whether the encryption key is available to them in order to decrypt it, or whether it's available, whether they give it to police or governments. And so the fact that they're not telling people how it works and that they're a commercial company that's known to collaborate with governments to do surveillance leaves not much credibility for them. So that's why Jitsi is an important option that's now available, because it's using encryption systems that are open so everybody can see how it works. It's using ZRTP, which is a encryption system specifically for VoIP, voice over IP, which is what Skype, all of these things where you make a call over the internet, or VoIP calls. So yeah, ZRTP is encryption for VoIP, and it's been around for the past 5 years or so it's fairly recent itself, but it was developed by actually the same person who originally developed the encryption system that ATS has been showing people how to use for email, PGP.
And so who made Jitsi?
Well, ZRTP and PGP were made by Phil Zimmerman. He's kind of a world-famous cryptographer who developed these different options, and specifically he values decentralized systems that people can control themselves and not depend on a company to provide the service for them. So from an anarchist perspective, the tools he's developing are very useful because we also want to have things be decentralized and aren't going to necessarily trust companies or governments to do that work for us.
And I mean, even if you're not doing anything that might set anyone off, it still sort of makes you, I mean, why should these people know what you're doing anyway? Why should there be this much access, this much
right.
information recorded about you? Like for instance, like if you use the kind of the Google video feature, like you have to click a box that says that they'll take a picture of you.
Right. Yeah. I didn't even know that, but there's just so many examples of that with Google, with Facebook. Google Maps recently had a little thing that started popping up and saying, do you want Google Maps to track your location? And then that'll go into your computer and gather a bunch of information from your computer in order to figure out where you are in the world. And so there's all these things that are rapidly expanding the degree of surveillance that is taken for granted or is considered normal in our society. And it's that's what we're doing is anarchist tech support is trying to provide tools with people to actively counteract that and make it harder for them for surveillance to happen, and also just have more awareness on the cultural level that having all your information on Facebook or having your location tracked all the time by your cell phone are not normal and shouldn't be acceptable, and trying to have those things be not just assumed to be okay, because day to day maybe people don't realize they're not okay, and then when shit hits the fan and the police are trying to track people down, then it won't be okay anymore and it'll be really obvious. So, and that became obvious to a lot of people in Toronto with the G20, and we started after the G20 because of greater awareness of surveillance and police repression.
So you're giving a talk about sort of a internet security. We give them fairly often, but you're giving mm-hmm. another one pretty soon. Maybe you'd like to tell people where they could?
No, I mean, we give them most often, just informally with friends.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, never mind.
It's, I mean, we do public events too. If you look at the QPIRG website, there's usually at least once every few months an event we have at QPIRG. So there will be events that you can find out about, but it's more because these communication tools.
Or why don't you talk about where you can get the service, the Jitsi service?
Sure. Yeah. Jitsi
really quickly, about 20 seconds here for
is
that.
Available on the Jitsi website. If you just do a search on JITSI, then it'll be the first thing that comes up, I think the only thing that comes up. And JIT.SI, JIT.C, is where you can get the service. So you download the software at one website, sign up for an account on the other, and then just install the software and set up your account. And then if somebody else does the same thing, then you'll be able to make calls with them.
And so why don't we talk a little bit more about just sort of recent developments in why internet security would be important to people here in Canada recently.
Okay. So there's always been a history in Canada and in the U.S. and in most states, I think, especially industrialized states, where
surveillance.
Yeah, surveillance has always been done technically. So there's always, so when there have been phones, there's been wiretapping, and when there's been internet, there's been using information on the internet in order to surveil people. It's just right now what's happening is that the legal code is changing to make that easier for police to do. So this is referred to as lawful access, and it allows them to have any information on any client of an internet service provider, so Bell, Videotron, any, even the smaller companies, if the police asked who is the person, what is the address and name and credit card number and everything of this person who did this thing through your network, the company would have to tell them. And additionally,
without a warrant,
I don't know all the legal details of which things it, if warrants are required, much less is required. I think for the account information, that might not even require a warrant at all, possibly. I don't remember the details, and also the details are changing, I think. And for the second part is that the internet service providers would be required to have their, they would actually, many of them are going to have to install new systems in order to do this, have real-time access to any traffic that's going over at their server. So if the police say, this router with Videotron, we want to see what they're doing right now, they can log in and see it. And I think they might need a warrant for that, but it's much easier for them to do than it is now. It would just facilitate the process a whole bunch, so it would be something they could do much more widely and comprehensively than they can now. Right now, they still can do it in some cases. They have deals. What I've heard people say is that there's a deal between some government agency and Bell to allow access to Bell traffic. So, like, it's not that these things aren't already happening, it's just that they'll be able to happen a lot more when the new law is passed, these lawful access laws. And the lawful access was included in the Omnibus Crime Bill, C-10, I think it is, that is coming, is kind of going through Parliament now. And they removed it from the crime bill. It's not exactly clear why. It could be in part, they could have done that in part because there's a big controversy about this lawful access and increased internet surveillance for the police. So maybe they wanted to try to deal with it separately or delay it some more, because the Liberals proposed it originally many, many years ago, and it got canceled, and then...
So it seems like these sorts of ideas are, they're kind of, they don't really belong to any particular party's ideology. They seem like there's something that every party...
Yeah. Even the NDP says that the lawful access bills go too far, but of course we need to modernize police powers for dealing with the internet. Like, they agree with the general idea. They would do it differently than the Conservatives would, and the Liberals would probably do it differently too, but it's all different versions of the same mentality, which is that, yeah, of course the police should be able to, quote, do their jobs, and their jobs being enforce the law, criminalize certain people, all of the things that maintain the social control of the state. So from an anarchist perspective, since
crime rates, even them, I mean, without getting into the question of what crimes are or any of that, crime rates themselves, just from any metric, have been going down since the early 90s, so why would all of these parties be interested?
Yeah, and that's the argument people bring up about the expanding prisons, so on, like, just a basic statistical, like, argument, it doesn't make sense. And that's, we've tried to make connections when we've been talking about this in Anarchist Tech Support between a lot of the anarchist organizing and that has been going on around against prisons and against the prison system, and saying there shouldn't be prisons at all, let alone more prisons, and talking about the reasons why the government builds more prisons and what that, how that relates to capitalism and how it relates to social control. When there's more prisons, it means when it comes down to it, they can do more things like the G20. There's more space to put lots of people in prison if they need to. Like,
even the NDP wanted to have more police officers.
Right, yeah. It's...
One of their plans was to hire a lot more police officers.
Yeah, I...
for some reason.
I haven't heard that.
I looked in the platform and...
Right, yeah. Haven't followed the platforms of the legislative positions very much, but...
I was bored one evening.
In general, we don't see the solution to any of these problems coming about from different policies by different parties. Instead, we turn to these solutions that we have that we can control, like encrypting our internet browsing, which is done through a software called Tor, T-O-R. There's a Tor project, which is a global project, and there's thousands and thousands of people around the world involved in that.
Which you can just find by Googling Tor.
Yeah.
Doesn't work with Chrome, but it will work with Firefox.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Firefox project. Right now, Tor is working on their own separate Tor browser even. It's based on Firefox, but it runs all on its own separately from Firefox. So that's a very well-developed project for... in many different ways, masking your identity when you do anything on the internet.
And so that it doesn't allow you to mask... It doesn't encrypt your information, but it does allow you to mask who you are.
It does encrypt it to some extent. It encrypts it on your computer and then sends it into the Tor network encrypted. Once it exits the Tor network somewhere else in the world and connects to whatever website you want to go to on the internet, then it can't be encrypted, because then the website wouldn't be able to read it.
Obviously, yeah.
So on the end... the last leg of the journey, it has to be decrypted, but all the rest of the way it's encrypted. So the police can sit right outside your house and look at all the traffic going out of your computer and on your router, and all they're going to see, or they can do that with the new lawful access from anywhere, and they'll just see that you're have an encrypted stream of traffic that's going into a Tor entry node, and they won't know what it is.
So Tor is a good... And Tor, there's not... The government can't crack this.
as far as we know. Tor is a very widely used project, and they, like, a few days ago, they came up with an up, like a kind of update where they sent an email around to everyone who's on their list and said, do an update right now. We just figured out some pretty minor flaw in the system, mm-hmm. where they might, if any people had a certain piece of information, they could figure out who someone might be, and they fixed that. So, like, it's, they're constantly trying to plug any of these holes that are in it, and if there was a major hole, there's so many people paying attention to the system that they'd probably find it.
Okay.
And so basically the top people in the world who are against government surveillance and who are, like, probably some of the most advanced computer people and hackers are working on this. Mm-hmm. And so it's possible that governments have figured out a way to get around all of that. But I think I tend to not put too much power on the side of the government. This was the thing.
That there's a lot of it because, I mean, given the sort of the nature of the internet and mm-hmm. how it's sort of about, I mean, you just sort of need to have the idea of how to work these things. And you kind of, you don't really need a lot of tools and stuff. So it's basically kind of, it's very equalizing that way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been why a lot of these very empowering options, encrypted email or Tor or Jitsi or these various things are available. Even though the anarchist movement is, we don't have a lot of resources, but a lot of these things are free. That's mm-hmm. there's been a,
and they require just sort of mental resources.
Yeah, exactly, which we've got plenty of.
We're gonna have to leave it there, but okay. Thanks a lot for being with us today, and I hope to hear more from you in the future.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Ninja from the Go Team.
This is Ian from the Go Team,
and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
that? Does it for this edition of Off the Hour, produced by Montreal's Community News Collective. My name is Verena. I have been your host, and Maj was your engineer tonight. Special thanks to Neil and Carla from the Media Co-op and to CKUDU for Groundwire. Thank yous are also due to all those who make educational and inspirational radio here at CKUT possible. For more information on anything you heard tonight, or if you would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041 extension 6788 or news@ckut.ca. Also check out our blog online at ckutnews.wordpress.com. Stay tuned, Native Solidarity News coming up next.